Welcome to Manga Cube, episode 90, the one-stop manga news and commentary for the week of March 24th, 2014. I am your main host, Derek, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mo.
Good morning, everyone.
It is time for our pre-100th episode, 90th episode extravaganza.
10 more to go.
Indeed. And we are... Actually, we won't be doing... Yeah, we probably should do something special, but I'm not really thinking of doing anything special. But either way, we'll just remember that each episode that we put out after this one will be a countdown. Mm. Sort of. Wait. 98. Whatever. Anyway, this week we have to start off with the news, starting off with the rankings as normal. And we've got the Japanese comic ranking, March 10th through the 16th, starting in 10th place.
The New Prince of Tennis, Volume 12.
And 9th place has Nisekoi, Volume 11.
8th place is Toriko, Volume 28.
And 7th place is Hanakun to Koisuru Watashi, Volume 8.
6th place is Bleach, Volume 62.
5th place is Kuroko's Basketball, Volume 26.
4th place is Assassination Classroom, Volume 8.
3rd place is Naruto, Volume 68.
2nd place, Silver Spoon, Volume 11.
And 1st place, One Piece, Volume 73, going down a fair bit, but still selling three times as many volumes as the second place, basically.
Hmm.
So, yeah. It's business as usual for One Piece. The first week is like the millions of copies sold, and then the second week, just a paltry hundreds of thousands sold.
Yeah.
Slackers.
People are like, oh, I got my money, now I'm going to buy it. Oh, I'm going to be on with the 2 million bond. Okay, anyway.
Ooh, hey, Fairy Tail Part 9 is coming out. I need to catch up on that again. Anyway.
Well, we're doing the news right now.
Yes, we are. Okay, the New York Times manga bestseller list for March 9th through the 15th. 10th place we have
Attack on Titan Volume 2.
9th place, Midnight Secretary Volume 4.
8th place, Fairy Tail Volume 35.
7th place, Attack on Titan Volume 11.
6th place, Attack on Titan Volume 1.
Ish. 5th place, Black Bird Volume 18.
Fourth place, Blue Exorcist, Volume 11.
Third place, Nisekoi, False Love, Volume 2.
Second place, One Piece, Volume 11. 70.
Randomly, Volume 11 is back on the list, years later.
Volume 70, sorry, second place, One Piece, Volume 70.
All
right, I don't know what's wrong with my brain right now.
Yes, and in first place we have Attack on Titan Before the Fall, Volume 1.
Oh yeah, that's why my brain's like, why is that in first? I don't understand, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, honestly, it's Attack on Titan, but we should probably go over that one at some point. I kind of checked out a couple chapters, and my basic assumption is, my first impression is that it's... I mean, it doesn't really have much to do with Titans at all, and it's mostly just kind of focusing on the, oh, this corruption of humanity, etc., and our government, and so on, and the nobles are awful kind of thing, which is kind of what the story is focusing on right now, but personally, I don't think that's very interesting, because it's been done a million times.
For the original series, in case you...
Yeah, before they developed the 3D maneuver gear, so already one of the big appeals of the series is not there anymore. So, yeah, and it kind of focuses on the whole, oh, look at the nobility, they are so awful, we only just realized this. What, French Revolution? What's that? Yeah, it's boring and an uninteresting idea in general to be focusing on this whole concept of, hey, look at the nobility here. They're evil. They're awful. And I'm just kind of sitting here thinking, yeah, you're going to get a lot of duhs from pretty much everyone in the Americas, especially those readers in the Americas and in France. Not so much Scandinavia and England, but nonetheless.
What about Russia with the Bolshevik Revolution?
They'd probably hate it. Yeah, they'd probably be like, well, duh. Dude. But they're probably a little more focused on government is corrupt always. I don't know what you're talking about. This isn't something that needs to be said.
Oh, and China too. But yeah, moving on.
Yes, to the North American anime and manga releases for March 16th through the 22nd. And let's see, we start off with the anime releases Bleach DVD set 20.
Then we have Creamy Mommy DVD set 1. No, it's not what you think it is. I looked at it, it's not what you think it is.
I already checked because I thought, because I know exactly what I thought it was, and that name is a. Geez,
why does it cost so much? Holy Jesus.
I guess anime souls likes money. Magi, Magi, The Labyrinth of Magic DVD set 2.
Shakugan no Shana's Season 1 DVD and Blu-ray Complete Save Edition.
We have To Love Ru Blu-ray Complete Collection.
Well, the original one. And we have Upote Blu-ray Complete Collection.
Alright, let's see. What do we have for manga releases? We have Dance in the Vampire Bund. The Memories of Sledgehammer Volume 2.
Like a little girl using guns. Okay, That's what Upote is. Anyways, Genshiken season, second season, volume 4.
March Story, volume 5.
Nijigahara Holograph, volume.
Mayo Chiki, volume 5.
Yukio Holder, volume 1.
Vagabond, volume 35.
Witchbuster Omnibus containing volume 9 and 10.
And Holic, the first omnibus.
Other releases, we have Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes for the PS4, Xbox One, PS3, Xbox 360, Final Fantasy X-2 HD Remastered for the PS3, PS Vita, and Yaiba Ninja Gaiden for the PS3, Xbox 360 Vita. Also for Steam, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I saw it on Steam.
Oh, nifty. Yeah, we haven't looked at any of those.
Oh, I don't want to get his costume.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Also, I don't really care about that kind of game.
Alright, okay. Alright, let's go ahead and move on. What other news do we have?
Okay, this comes as a very, very amazing surprise. Ah, My Goddess, also known as Ah Megami-sama, manga is going to end in April.
Wow, that is...
For 26 years.
Yeah, I was about to say, geez. That's... Why now? I mean, seriously, if you're going for that long, it's not like you've finished the story finally. It's more like, yeah, I'm out of stuff to do. I'm kind of curious. I'm wondering... I've barely even read the manga. I've seen a few... Like, a volume. I've watched some of the anime, but... Yeah, there's a lot of stuff where I was just thinking, I was like, what on earth was the story even about? So, I might have to check out the manga sometime to figure out what the heck it's about.
I read the first volume a long, long time ago, and that was the first manga
I
read.
Same here. Not the first manga I read, but one of the early ones.
The very first manga I read was volume 1 of this. And I thought, it's pretty an interesting story. When I saw it, I was like, oh my goodness, it feels like, my childhood just got ripped apart.
It's ending. Okay. I'm an adult. Damn it.
I never read the other volumes after the first one. Anyways.
Well, that would be a series. Yeah, that'd be a series we should look at. Yeah, there's enough manga that at the pace that we go, we could be here for decades.
Oh, so it's got 45 volumes so far. So
that's surprisingly not a lot for 25 freaking years.
Apparently a monthly series.
Nonetheless, Fullmetal Alchemist was around for how long, and it had how many volumes?
20?
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure it wasn't around for 25 years.
Yeah.
That's actually, I asked that question, but I forget.
The schedule for non-weekly, anyways.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, I'm just going to quickly look up Fullmetal Alchemist and see how many volumes and how long it was around. Let's see. It was around for 9 years, and it was 27 volumes. So...
I was off.
You were pretty close. But yeah, 9 years, 27 volumes, and we're talking another series that was like, what, 45 volumes over 25 years. It had to have been had plenty of hiatuses.
That could be it.
Actually, I can look that up too.
That's kind of the reason why the first anime had some had filled up to the point where I just realized it was just filler.
Let's see, 1988 to July 2014. Well, let's see, 1989, 1990, 1990, 91, 91, 92, 92, 93, 93, 94, 94, 95, 96, 97. Well, it helped that they only had like 2, 3 to 1 volumes a year. Seen pretty consistently from like 90. And see, the release dates were fairly consistent, actually. I don't see any major hiatuses
Is this
there.
Oh My God is you're talking about?
Yeah, except,
Okay.
you know, it had like 1 to 3 volumes a year, if that, usually averaging around 2, especially later on. So, well, that's kind of impressive. Non-stop, and yet somehow it only did 43 volumes. So, 44,
The
40,
creator had a
46.
very good lax schedule that many mangaka they had.
Yeah. But yeah, well, if you think about it, it's like six volumes. Yeah, it's yeah. Doesn't look like it was going at any slow pace. Kind of makes me wonder how did Fullmetal Alchemist get so much in so little time then? Oh well. Okay, what else do we have?
Okay, Jigoku Sensei Nube manga returns in a one-shot 15 years later.
I need to read that one too sometime.
Well, it's a one-shot. We have no idea if it will be a
Well.
sequel, but
I need to see. I started reading like part of the manga at one point, but I kind of want to read it all the way through. But I don't know. Nothing really got me into it that much. And it also, apparently, they do the whole, oh hey, look, here's the main character. Here's the girl that he likes. Oh wait, later on, we'll introduce a different character that he actually ends up with. And I mean, I don't know. That wouldn't seem like it's a big deal. But at the same time, I kind of hate those, you know, manga where.
I hate those
Yeah,
manga.
you know, you get invested in a relationship maybe or the possibility of one, and then the actual person that they end up with is someone that's introduced like halfway through the stinking series, and suddenly you're just thinking, wait, but I
Hold
don't
on, tell me
care
what
about
series
that
did that?
I don't care about that other person. Why are they suddenly why are you do you expect me to suddenly care about them? I care about the person that you've been, you know, writing about for the last decade. Well, Ranma One Half kind of did that with Ryoga and Ukyo, with their respective romantic interests, which was kind of lame. But anyway, yeah, I wonder, it'll be interesting. I'll have to keep an eye on to see whether I can find that one shot floating around somewhere, even though I'm pretty sure I won't get it.
It's pretty apropos for this one because since the main character appears in that fighting game, the latest
Oh
crossover
yeah.
J-Star fighting game. Anyways,
All right, what else do we have?
Kodansha USA announces Heroic Legend of Arslan manga release. And Mushishi manga gets a digital re-release.
Cool. Oh, Mushishi. That's one. That's
That's
another
a good
one
one.
we should look
If
at.
you're not, if you want to break away from like, shonen, typical shonen or fighting, whatever, Mushishi is something you should check out.
Right.
Like that one manga you told me about, the one about that, what, that Munakata, this something or whatever. Oh, that's interesting.
The what?
The musings, the legendary muses of Munakata.
Oh, right. That one. Yeah. That's another one of those interesting ones. I mean, yeah, that's the thing about manga. It would be foolish to focus just on shonen manga because there's such a large variety of manga
I
out
think
there.
it's boring unless there's a reason why the action is this perfect.
Yeah, one that I've been kind of looking through and that I want us to get into at some point is Attack on Titan Junior High, because
Serious? Oh my
yeah,
God.
it's actually kind of really funny.
Okay.
But yeah, and it's one of those, yeah, and it's not like a typical shonen. It's kind of a complete farce, and I want to. And normally manga kind of doesn't do a great job with that if it's just complete gag manga, but some of them are pretty funny, and this one's kind of one of those. All right, what else do we have?
Yen Press to Square Enix, and Square Enix are going to offer either an ebook manga in 200 countries. Wait, Soul Eater not.
Right.
Don't know, guys. Secret to be serialized digitally. 175 titles in English, including Soul Eater, of course, Black Butler, Full Metal Alchemist, Pandora Hearts, and Higurashi.
Nice.
So they're gonna try and do what Viz and Kodansha just did.
They could stand to do that because Yen Press has some decent series. They just don't have as big of a presence.
So the 175 titles will be available via Amazon, Apple, Barnes & Noble, Google, and Kobo at the same time as their print releases.
Excellent. Yeah, that's kind of one of the things that a couple of years ago when they were talking about, doing digital manga at like Comic-Con, and I was just kind of thinking, you know what, yes, you could do your digital manga readers, but let's be honest here. It's a huge pain to have to go to a bunch of different websites, I think, to read the manga. I think that's why the Shonen Sunday digital manga didn't really work very well when they were releasing free chapters for us, because...
Sunday?
Yeah. Yeah, they were doing Hide and Closer, and they did doing their Rinne.
Yeah.
It was a huge pain to deal with because, one, the reader was a bit of a pain, and two, having to go to... that site and then other sites for other manga was a huge pain in the butt. So having them all from different companies but offered on the same services makes it a lot easier. So, yep. All right, so that's good. That's good. Let's see, what about this next one here?
Okay, this is interesting. The Barefoot Gen manga has been pulled from Izumi Sano City School Library shelves. Because seizure is due to derogatory term for beggars and the unemployed. So what they're saying is they don't like how the they don't like how it depicts beggars and derogatory term for beggars and unemployed. This is what the principal, no, the mayor. The mayor apparently. Well, superintendent.
Yeah, that's
the mayor, and then he buys the superintendent, and yeah.
That is interesting.
Oh, wait, hang on. Yeah, it was temporarily removed from 13 elementary, middle, and middle schools in Osaka's Izumi Sano City. So, and just to recap what the story is about, for those who don't know, it tells the story of a survivor after the atomic bombing of Hiroshima from the mangaka's own view. Not like his view verbatim, but like his own telling of it.
Right, yeah, so.
His own experiences.
It's from the point of view of a survivor of the bombings of Hiroshima. And yeah. Yep, it's
kinda
pretty heavy stuff.
When you look at how he actually survived and read about what happened to his family, because it just, man, I kind of feel insulted. Like, dude, this guy wishes his time. Well, okay, it's just from school, so fun.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it is kind of a weird idea. Many expressions of the manga that impact human rights. So, derogatory terms for beggars and the unemployed, which I'm going to assume those are not being said by the protagonist, because if it was by the protagonist, that would be kind of problematic. But I'm going to assume those are said by people that are not supposed to be seen as nice. My thought, and I mean, I've got absolutely nothing to go on this, but anytime free speech and free expression is attacked, I always assume that it has something to do with authority wanting to tighten their grip on us. I'm going to assume that some of those people in the manga that were saying the derogatory terms for beggars and the unemployed were authority figures. So I would say it's...
We gotta read this.
Yeah. Yes, we do. But I would say it's a little suspicious if an authority figure was saying, this is impacting human rights and trying to get it changed. And it's like, I don't know, this phrase makes preparations to provide guidance to students regarding the problematic expressions in the work. Well, we could follow Russia's general... we could follow Russia's lead on this. Let me finish. We could follow Russia's sort of example in this by not being a pussy. Any of you that watch The Daily Show understand exactly what I mean, because that was basically the explanation for why there are so many crazy Russians climbing buildings and filming themselves doing it. Their basic reason is, don't be a pussy. Mm. So, yeah, it is a bit.
Yeah, so the
Yeah,
mangaka himself, he
problematic.
passed away 2 years ago. He did, yeah, 2 years
Really,
ago.
you did?
Yeah. I think we covered the news about that 2 years ago.
Did we? Oh, did we? No.
Think we
Well,
did.
have we even been around that long? We probably did, yeah.
Well, he passed away before Christmas.
Oh, okay, right. Oh, well, yeah, we probably did cover that then.
Probably knew we did because we did news like that was like from the time we didn't do it to the point we did. Yeah.
All right.
Well, he's dead, so the mayor's like, he's dead. Doesn't matter anymore. Oh man.
Yeah, that's.
Cool, but whatever.
Yeah, but yeah, this is yeah, also one's morning. Yeah, let's see. Okay, let's see. The resolution to save a month to have the manga pool, but some schools did not comply with the resolution. The Izumisano Association of Public School Principals submitted two written protests to the board regarding the resolution, stating school library administration is under the jurisdiction of school principals and the association cannot accept the unilateral decision of the manga by the Board of Education to deny children the chance to read the manga grounded. In a certain sense of values and ideas is a violation of their human rights. And let's see. Okay, let's see. The association demanded the copies be returned. Chiyomatsu, the mayor, read the series after received letters from citizens regarding the city of Matsue's attempt to restrict access to the manga in schools. Well, for one, any other country is like, seriously, this is a big, you're having a big argument over a freaking comic book. But, in a school, but, yeah, it is. Yeah, I'm just gonna go ahead and say that the mayor should keep his dirty hands out of this. Because I'm an American, and as many people know, Americans are 100% behind freedom of speech. Damn it.
Damn right we are.
Unless, of course, you say something I don't agree with, in which case I'll talk over you in the podcast, Mo. Wait, what?
Well,
No.
I'm American too.
Yeah, that is
Born in
true.
America.
Born in the USA?
Yes.
Damn right. Yeah, it's funny that I should say that. And I'm like, yeah, I was born in the USA, but I've barely even lived in this country.
Sure.
It's like, I'm
I'm
American.
like, oh, so you're the one accusing me. Okay.
Yeah, like I was saying, it's not like I'd have any kind of ground to stand on were I to say something like that. But yeah, so fingers crossed that this, goes away because if it is what I think it is, and of course my suspicion is completely unfounded, but I wouldn't be surprised if there were some level of, hey, this portrays authority figures around that time in our history as awful. Let's stop people from reading it, then, maybe not let them do that. So, I'm gonna have to read the rest of this myself alone. What else do we have?
Okay, Seven Seas licenses No Game, No Life manga, and the company also confirms it cannot publish more Blood Alone manga due to a publisher change. Okay, so the manga No Game, No Life is by Yu Kamiya and Mashiro Hiragi. The original light novel is by Kamiya. Yes, the artist, well, since there's writer and art, so. The
Gotcha.
story is kind of ridiculous, I would say, from just reading it.
Oh.
I won't say because I feel degraded just reading it myself. Anyways,
Oh, what? Yeah, what is the story?
okay, a brother and sister whose reputations as brilliant need non-education, employment, or training, or also hikikomoris, gamers have spawned urban legends all over the internet. These
Okay.
two gamers even consider the real world as just another crappy game. You
It's
see how
like
I feel.
I've tried. It's like I tried playing this real world that you talked of. It was like the graphics were impressive, but the gameplay was terrible.
It plays terrible.
As they say, yep.
So yeah, one day they are summoned by a boy named God to an alternate world. There, God has prohibited war and declared this to be a world where everything is decided by games, even national borders. Humanity has been driven back into one remaining city by the other races. Will the brother and sister, the good for nothing brother and sister, become the saviors of humanity on this alternate world? Well, let's start playing.
Let's not. That sounds ridiculous.
I'm not playing this.
I kind of like this game. Yep. All right. Well, that's Skyrim interesting. Yeah. Also. Okay. Yep. Well, I think move on to the next one, shall we?
Okay. March comes in like a lion, wins the 18th Tezuka Osamu Prize's top award.
Cool.
So it won the grand prize.
That's cool. I find myself not really invested because I know jack shit about that.
I see Space Brothers on, like, mentioned a lot in, like, in the news.
Yeah, that's another one we should read, I think.
We have to read this.
Cause yeah, it's on Crunchyroll. I mean, they have, like, the entire series, I believe, so we should read it.
It's about space.
Kind of like how there's a bunch of other stuff we should read. We really need to make a list of crap we should read.
Yes, start making a list now.
Yeah. Well, a good chunk of my list is all this manga that's on my desk.
A good chunk of my list is all this manga I don't own yet.
That's why you need a list, yes. All right. And okay, anything else or are we good to go?
We're good to go.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to the next segment. It's time for the manga review for Manga Cube, and this week we are talking about Genshiken's second season, Volume 4.
Yep.
Indeed, and also, as we can probably call it, this is the school festival arc.
Yeah.
Sort of, except not the way you normally think of it. But
in Negima, it was called the school festival. No, the school battle festival or something.
Yeah, they fight. This volume pretty much entirely contains all of... Yeah, well, basically what we get is we start off the volume with Hato trying to sort of like, you know, draw for his, you know, draw the manga and just constantly getting distracted, but, you know, by the fact that he keeps drawing Boy Love illustrations. And also one thing that I find interesting worth pointing out is how during that scene Ogiwe is obsessing over the fact that, you know, it's like, I'm the senpai here, I have to find a solution to this problem. And I'm kind of thinking, well, that's kind of an interesting mindset. Normally my usual mindset or the mindset that I'm used to for living in the culture that I live in is, you know, personal problems are personal problems. It's not something that anyone else has to fix for you, even if they are your senior in school or your senior at work or anything. So it's a very interesting concept that comes across as pretty alien to me, at least. You know, the whole idea of being a senpai and, you know, being responsible for the underclassmen.
Yeah,
it's
very alien here, since they don't really do that in the West. Western school.
Not really, yeah. It's sort of more like you're...
Yeah, it's more like, oh, I'm a senior. I'm looking down at you because you're a freshman.
Well, it's not even that. It's more, I'm your senior. It's my job to be responsible for you. With us, it's more like, forget you. You take care of yourself kind of deal. Yeah. Or, you know, it's not like... It's... Yeah, I don't know. I found that within schools in the U.S., it's a lot more antagonistic.
That's what I mean, well, I just did there.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, for us, it's it's antagonistic, like you said. But yeah, in Japan, it's more, or at least it's supposed to be, or it seems to be more, oh, hey, you are my kohai, I am the senpai, I'm in charge, I'm responsible for you kind of thing. So it's a kind of an interesting concept to see that, but... Moving on from there, the rest of the volume is basically everything converging on the Genshiken's event where Hato's friends from high school show up and discover that he has been cross-dressing all this time. And we discover the girl that he had admired, who basically turns out that the first wig that Hato wore makes him look exactly like this other
the girl that he's been actually been cross-dressing in. There you
yeah,
go.
Exactly. Basically, he dresses to look like her, and she's the one whose art he really admired, and so she's the one whose style he copies whenever he's cross-dressing. And the basic story that you get is he was in the art club, but he was the only one doing art, and all the other members were fujoshi that were all into, you know, boy love illustrations and stuff, but only one of them could draw, and Hato admired her, so one time he really wanted to look at her art, and one time he noticed she'd left it behind, so he took it with him someplace where he could sort of, like, look at it in private without anyone wondering what he was doing, and he took it to the bathroom, and then one of the other girls, rightfully so, calls him on, "Hey, wait a minute, you took that to the bathroom with you," and she jumps to conclusions, which you should never jump to conclusions, but you can't really blame her for drawing that conclusion, and so then everyone thinks, "Oh, hey, dude's gay," and that kind of makes his high school a living nightmare, which, as it would. And we find out that the, you know, and you have a kind of an amusing scene with, you find out that the girl that he admired is actually, she's getting engaged. Yeah, she's engaged to, Hato's older brother. And, you know, you kind of have some amusing scenes where she, like, throws out these really ridiculous, boy love fantasies. Where she was just like, you know, she was like, "This is the true reason Hato cross-dresses as me, is because he wants to replace me in his brother's life." And you're just like, the other girls from that Hato knew was just like, "Oh, jeez, she's rotten to the core." And then Hato and Ogure is like, yes, I see what you're saying. This is an intriguing idea."
Like, what? Like, yeah, I think I get it, but at the same time, it terrifies me.
It is kind of ridiculous and really amusing. But, yeah, and then from there, we kind of move forward a little bit with the whole idea of Hato growing more attached to Madarame in ways that he himself does not seem to understand fully yet. And then Saki shows up, and it basically, from there, it becomes a case of partially the other members of the Genshiki, Sasahara's sister, what's her first name again?
Keiko,
that's it, yeah. She's sort of like finding out about Hato actually being a guy. And then kind of from there, the main focus of the plot is making Saki and Madarame sort of sit together and talk out a certain unresolved issue between the two of them. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, from there on, that's where the volume ends, and then next volume we will have the discussion between the two of them, which is kind of a long time coming sort of thing. So we'll kind of see what happens here. This is going to be one of the odder things, because one of the things that I liked about Genshiken was the whole idea of the whole Madarame Saki thing was completely unresolved. So seeing it about to be resolved is a bit weird. And so, you know, but yeah, and that's about the content of the volume. Mo, as a first-time reader of this volume, what did you think?
I enjoyed it, other for other things, but mostly for all the content in it. I mean, getting to see Hato's past and the person that influenced him and made him, kind of indirectly made him to who he is now, mm-hmm. was I'm actually glad she didn't turn out to be who I thought, what kind of person I thought she turned out to be, like Oyue's friend was just more of a, yeah. Her friend was just petty.
Yeah, they were kind of awful, but yeah, and it is, she definitely is a nice, she has these kind of moments, especially here, but later on as well, where you're kind of wondering, okay, I don't think I entirely get you, but, you know, yeah, she's definitely...
No, I get her. You're talking about Hato's soon-to-be sister-in-law, right?
Yeah, her, she...
Yeah, I get her.
Yeah, I don't know, she
but
has
because being crazy as her, I can share the same mind, but not in the same interest, but same mind.
Mm. Yeah. I think, yeah, overall, yeah, she's kind of one of those characters that personally I'm just sort of like, it's not all dry cut, it's not all simple. Oh, hey, look, this character's this and this character's that, but with her, I'm sort of like, yeah, I was like, I don't entirely get you all the time, but hey, yeah, it's good, it's good. Yeah, I think this part of the series is kind of I'd say I'd say kind of the high, not well, not the climax of the series because it keeps going, but it's sort of like it's definitely one of the high points. Especially the anime did not extend much beyond this volume, maybe this and the next one.
Why does the anime do that? Why does the anime not like cover the
Continue. Well,
yeah.
no. The thing is that after that, at the time that the anime was made, there wasn't enough material. So, you couldn't really continue because the chapters didn't come out. They'll probably do a second season, I imagine, to cover the rest of the stuff, even though it kind of the anime ended with a little bit of finality. So you'll kind of have to see where that goes. But yeah, and. Yeah, so that is, I don't know, that's what I thought about the volume in general. Oh, man. It's kind of hard to
It was
talk.
enjoyable to read, as I would say. The characters, the Hanzo friends were enjoyable. There were Yoshitake and Yajima friends too.
Oh yeah,
Friends.
those were amusing.
I'm like, wait, are they aliens or no, not aliens?
Yeah. I
Like,
think, yeah, the. Oh, well.
did
Yeah,
he?
I think that, yeah, the thing that was really kind of hard for me to really get, for me to really discuss this manga is I've kind of found that it's actually really hard to talk about a manga that you've read several times over. Because it's like you already have an established opinion, but you're sort of like, oh, why don't I even start? Well, when it's starting the first time, you can give your first impressions of it. And so.
Well, okay, for me, there are some deep points about this volume that it kind of was going to go into, but then it's like, some other time maybe.
Yeah.
It was basically discussing though how the whole boy love thing and isn't okay for two guys to like each other like that, whatever. And I'm just being like, okay, I understand that, but
It is kind of interesting.
not me.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting pointing out how you've got Saki, who is oh yeah, I've got friends that are gay. There's totally nothing wrong with that. But you can and. I can't remember where exactly it was, but there's like a part in the original series where she reacts in the stereotypical, this is w gay guys, this is weird, I do not understand way. So you're just kind of like, okay, either that's character development or that's the author changing their stance on it from several years ago, which you kind of see a lot of, nowadays, where you have. Series that in the past they'd like, or creators they'd be like, oh hey, look, gay jokes and whatnot. But now they're like, oh what? No, I don't make those jokes. That's totally socially unacceptable to do so. So it's kind of, I don't know. Yeah, that's kind of funny, I think. But with Saki, I don't know. It definitely, she seems like the kind of character that.
Well, she's kind of been gone for about a year, so you never know. Maybe just eventually you just got used to it or something.
Yeah, or I don't know. Yeah, it's just. Kind of an odd difference, just not so much that it's oh the character changing their opinion. No, that should never happen. No, but it's more like, I'm pretty sure this is less the character and more the author changing it, which the reason it stuck out to me was because it kind of reminded me a little bit of Futurama, the way they had that one episode about how hey you shouldn't be robosexual because if you're not robosexual. Because if you're robosexual, there will be no babies, which is a very sort of subtle, which, the more you think about it, it's a very subtle jab at the whole, oh, hey, people shouldn't be gay because they don't make kids, thing. It's a complete, very
Less
subtle
kids, less
satire.
population in the world, less more food for everyone in general, and less
Well,
diaper change.
that's besides the point. But, what I'm saying is, on the surface, that episode of Futurama feels like, oh, hey, yeah, they are. They're saying that, taking this seriously, but you actually look at it and it's like, oh, wait, no, that's actually they're actually doing a really subtle bit of satire right there, which is why the episode where they flat out You know, where they flat out say being robosexual is equivalent to being gay, makes it just seems like such a worse episode because it's not subtle at all, you know. But yeah, so but you know, it's kind of like a shift between opinions that reminded me a bit of Futurama there, in that, you know, just the way they approach the topic changed so drastically, where it's less, let's be subtle about this and more, let's be blatant about this so everyone knows what our stance is, so we don't get in trouble from anyone, you know, kind of thing.
That's why Toriko Shimbukuro did what he did.
Probably. I don't know. I honestly think he doesn't care. But
he doesn't care.
Yeah, and let's see, anything else worth pointing out, do you think, in this volume?
No, I can't think of anything else. It's just the festival and getting to know more about Hato and kind of clearing up his, you know, why he's the way he is and such.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it is, it is, I think the one of the reasons, I'm not a huge fan of the backs of his, you know, flashback, mostly because it's really awkward and really uncomfortable.
You know? I know. It's like, oh, don't you want to see it? I'm like, no, I don't want to see it.
Yeah, yeah, it's sort of like, this is, oh gosh, I have my own personal...
Luckily, I didn't know anyone like that. Yeah. I mean, I didn't know people who could draw really good, and I was like, man, what's
your... Well, no, it's not even that. I'm just talking in terms of, I don't want to read this because it reminds me of when I had... problems in high school. I still have emotional issues over that.
You know, what?
That reason.
That reason?
You know, awkward high school experience is uncomfortable to read for awkward high school students.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess mine was more like empty. It was empty up until like junior year.
Mm. Well, yeah, but also worth pointing out here is Keiko is kind of hilarious in this chapter, in the way that she was totally harassing Hato. And, you know, it's not like she was trying to be a jerk. She was just so flabbergasted by the idea of this chick that I thought was a chick is actually a dude. He's got a really good disguise. Here, let me feel your fake breasts, or do you think you could do it with a girl if you were dressed as a girl? And then it finally ends appropriately with Sue giving her the mean eye. It's like, sorry, bad joke. So, yeah.
Sue.
Yeah, and, you know, it is, yeah, very much kind of a really uncomfortable moment in a way, but also kind of funny because you're like, oh, geez. This character is insane. No wonder none of the other ones like her very much. But, you know, not in the way that, oh, this character is completely unlikable. Like, what's his face? Suguchi? From the first series.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, so, but still, yeah, she borderlines it sometimes in ways that are either really uncomfortable or kind of funny. Mm. So, yeah, but... Yeah, other than that, that's about the totality of the story. Definitely recommend checking out the between chapters and the extra stuff. I kind of like the extra little bonus part at the end with Sasahara helping...
Helping Kosaka?
Kosaka, yeah, okay. I have an excuse for him because he so rarely does anything important that it's easy to forget him. But yeah, Kosaka... And then, yeah, Sasahara is, helping him get changed. And, yeah, then he's like, sees, like, all the cross-dressing clothes that he had. And he's like, wait, those are panties. Closing the curtains.
Like, why do you need that? Character. That's he just said, no, Johnny. You mean character. And I'd be like, no, you don't need that.
Yeah, I used to be the main character once. Yeah, so it was a good volume. I really liked this specific volume of Genshiken. You know, highly recommended. It's definitely good for anyone that's read this far, just because you get the, you know, you kind of finally get to see a little bit more about what Hato's deal is exactly, you know, why he is the way he is. And so you kind of get an explanation of his reasoning, while at the same time sort of realizing that, yeah, there are certain aspects of this that are kind of beyond his control, you know. You know, things that he says one thing, but he doesn't realize that another thing actually applies. So, you know, like how he says, is like, oh, no, no, I'm totally straight. But then he also has these moments where he's like, you know, acts like a typical underclassman girl when her senpai is, you know, paying attention to her with Madarame. Yeah. And so it's like, you know, he says one thing, but he's kind of an unreliable narrator in that sense. So you'd have to, you know, have to take what he says with a grain of salt and focus more on what actually happens. And yeah, it is definitely interesting. But yeah, and yeah. So other than that, do you have anything else you want to mention?
There was something I wanted to mention, but it's really mediocre. Now I don't think you want me to mention it anyway.
Hmm. Oh, what was it?
You know, how very prominent.
Oh, yeah, you keep your. You,
the volume.
You keep your dirty mouth shut.
I think they got it. I don't have to say it anymore. I just say it like that.
Yeah. I think one other thing I just kind of opened up to this, it was kind of funny when you take, you know, Keiko seeing Madarame and. Gosh dang it, Hato. Yeah, Madarame and Hato sort of standing next to each other, and she's like, oh, so hey, this is why you never showed up where I work. And it's like, you know, it's like, you two must totally be dating. And then, and then, yeah, Ono was like, Hato is not a chick, he's a dude. And then just her reaction is like, immediately goes, tries to pull up the skirt. It's like, geez, what is with these people?
I don't know.
Yep. And so, but yeah. All right, well, that is the volume of Genshiken. The next one isn't coming out till, I think, like August or something. So it's going to be a while before we come to that. But for, all right, for next week, we have a new volume of Fairy Tail that just came out this week. So we're going to use this week to read it, and then we will discuss it. We also are going to finally start reading volumes 13, 14, and 15 of of One Piece and discuss those. So we'll have to, you know, we'll get up to speed on that. And then after that, we've got, the week after that, what we have planned is the Ranma 1/2 omnibus, which is still recent enough that I don't feel bad about putting it off for a bit as we worked through some other volumes. But I think with that, we'll pretty much be caught up with all the current manga that we read. We've got a couple months before New Nisekoi comes out. And Fairy Tail is, of course, a monthly thing. And the next Ranma 1/2 will be a couple months, too. And so from there, we won't have anything new, so we'll be able to just power through One Piece pretty easily. And so, yep, I got that. And, okay, I think that's about it for this segment. Did you have anything else you needed to add, Mo?
No.
Okay, cool. In that case, I'm going to go ahead and quit the recording, and we will see you all in the next segment. It's time for us to discuss the latest weekly chapters, starting with Weekly Shonen Jump. And first off, we have...
All You Need Is Kill, Chapter 9.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and we kind of get a little more information on the mimics. We kind of get this idea of...
They are hazardous to the environment.
Yeah, exactly. They drink the water, they eat the earth, and they spew it all back out to a substance that is poisonous to everything on earth, but not to creatures not from the world.
Jerks.
Yeah. And so we get a little bit of more of a backstory of Rita and how she kind of had... One of her lieutenants was, you know, kind of did the whole, you know, small talk to help new soldiers calm down. And let's see, then, yeah, so they, So what happens is that Rita discovers that there's this really large mimic that was eating the Earth, and she noticed it had what looked like an antenna. And so she shot it.
Must be the boss.
Yep, and then she ended up in the, ended up waking up in the shower.
That's a nice checkpoint.
Yeah, that's a little unnecessary, but okay. And we skip from there where she realizes, she's like, wait a minute. I was pretty sure I was on the battlefield, but it was 30 hours before battle. So she realizes that she's in a time loop after she goes after it a second time and kills the mimic. And so you start to notice that the other mimics are there. There are more and more mimics there protecting it every time she goes there. But she always, she starts noticing some differences, like people being dead and in the, that weren't dead in the last loop. She gets her axe.
It's like Dark Souls, where you do the same thing, but then you'll have different consequences. But the same process, same experience, more experience, but be harder and stuff.
Yeah, she's also noticing that, she's also starting to think that the secret behind the strength of the mimics lies in the time loop. And that, it had memorized her moves during the last loop and added new reinforcements to stop me in this loop. So it seems like, yeah, the mimics are able to win major battles by just looping it all over, but you've got certain people here that are getting caught up in those loops. And in Rita's case, it's when she attacked that one. So I guess what it's supposed to be is that she attacks the one with the antenna, and because that wasn't supposed to happen, they loop back to the beginning so that they can fix the problem. But for some reason, she's aware of what's going on. And then we also kind of have to, we still need to figure out why Keiji is caught in there and why he dies. And then he reloops. Is there a reason why he needs to be kept alive or something? Who
Theory could
knows?
be that he might actually be a mimic in some way or other. Someone's theory of that, but
Interesting. Maybe.
actually, what I'm trying to look at is the mimic. I'm trying to see if the mimic that killed him is the same mimic that Ryu was trying to kill the whole time. Because
Oh,
he
yeah.
just killed that mimic, but he's not getting killed by that mimic. So
Yeah, if it is the one with
I'm
the
checking.
antenna. Yeah, I guess we can kind of figure it's probably like a leader or something. But yeah, and yeah, so Rita kind of just starts deciding that she needs to figure out how the loops work. And so she's, yeah, caught in a very specific loop, but we assume that she eventually gets out because, this isn't the same battle, and by the time she, by the time Keiji gets involved, she already has a reputation for being strong. So if she were in a loop herself at that time, nobody would know her reputation because she still would have been the beginner without the time to become better. So, yeah. So it's yeah. So that's the chapter. It's pretty good. We're getting more. We're just learning more information about what's going on and all that. And so, yep. You have anything to add?
I'm still trying to find that mimic that killed him. It's even the same mimic. No, not it doesn't have an antenna.
Okay. All right. Well, no worries. But, all right, let's move on to Bleach chapter 573.
I am
Where?
the Edge.
Indeed. That's a cool title. Yeah, so Kenpachi is back and
We get confirmation that
he did.
Unohana's dead.
Yeah. Unohana's dead. Yep. I don't believe you. No, what? But yeah, Kenpachi killed her, and yeah. So I don't know. Yeah, there's something weird. Isana's like, I'm glad the fact that you killed her means you took over her name, which is like, wait, was her having the name a bad thing? I don't know. But it's like he already has the, he already has the name Kenpachi. But then again, I guess he just kind of took it without earning it, and so yeah. And we've got. Yeah, so the entire structure starts to crumble. Isanami dives to save the two captains, and yep. So we start off, Kenpachi starts doing doing what he does, and the Sternritter Grimmy Thumo, says that, is like, I've just imagined my body being harder than steel. And then...
Kenpachi's like, oh, and you could have told me it was harder than steel. I would have been cutting...
Cut you as if I was cutting steel.
That's
pretty cool. He was like, what's with the face? You imagine that I wouldn't be able to cut you? Let me tell you something. Your imagination can't create anything I can't cut.
That is the best thing he ever said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is pretty amazing. He was just like, man, I should have imagined I was diamond. Crap.
I just cut you like you were upcoming diamond.
Yeah. He's like, because I'm Kenpachi. And so pretty badass. All things considered.
Everything is diamond. Well, guess what? Cuts diamond.
So
yeah, short chapter, but this is why I like Bleach.
Good, awesome fights like this.
This wasn't even a fight. This was just an entrance.
True. And it's the promise of a fight, and the dude.
Okay, it was a fight. He cut himself and dodged it.
Yeah, that counts as a fight. Okay. And let's see. All right, let's move on to Naruto chapter
669.
Yes, there it is. Now Kishimoto is doing what Kubo does. Lovely.
And I don't think he's gonna do it forever.
Yeah, so this one is a lot of talking while Guy is doing the butt kicking. And so there's just, as Naruto is wont to do, there's a lot of talking about how, let's use our ability, let's talk about his abilities and how we can counter them, and let's make a plan, which normally is pretty cool, but it's a lot more fun to see it executed, so you'd think, could you not talk as much? And then Guy manages to he actually manages to hurt him a bit, so not all that much, but
it was really
still
funny
a bit.
When Madara got hit again, he was like, oh, he is fast. Like, oh, you just figured out.
And then it looks like we've got Naruto waking up somewhere else, and that was the chapter.
Would pain Obito might be dead or something.
I don't think he'd be dead because he wasn't the Jinchuriki's host, really. It's more like he stole the power Zetsu has the power inside him. So they just put it inside Naruto. All right. Let's see.
That's a good chapter.
It was pretty good. I mean, it was a little bit too much talking for my taste for an action chapter, but I did quite like what we got with, seeing Guy use his power like that. And so,
it was funny seeing Madara get pummeled. That made me laugh when he said, oh my god, he is fast. Like, yeah, that's right, he is fast.
Good chapter. I quite liked it. Alright, it's time to talk about Stealth Symphony, Chapter 5.
iRobot.
Yep.
Ah, pun.
Yeah, which, we have this new character that was introduced, and he's talking about, it's like, I can just rip the heirloom along with his whole spine, right? And the person on the other line of the phone is like, no, that's not okay. What kind of monster are you? And she's like, It's like, what are you trying to do to an innocent kid you've never met?
That's what I would do too, to be honest. I mean.
Freak. But yeah, that is kind of funny. She does the typical, I am evil and mean and everything. And then the person on the other line of the phone is like, what, are you crazy? No, leave the kid alone. Just don't do that. And yeah, so Jig is out of money, basically. And so...
still can't find a job.
And you've got Troma, who basically says, hey, you're a cyborg. You could probably find a job. There are certain places where you can get that. So you have the girl with the cat ears that's kind of following him and has these robots following him. around, and then Jig walks, just ends up walking up to her and is like, "Hey, where's the main office of this place?" And yeah, she ends up, he grabs one of the robots and she kind of punches him because it's way too close because those robots are her eyes.
I thought they were something else.
What?
Hey, that last page in the previous chapter looked like it, okay? Not my fault that what's his name drew it like that.
But yeah, anyway, so we find out that she's a member of the Cyborg Soldier School. And it's basically where cyborgs get together to become hired guns. And let's see, yeah. So yeah, you have a moment between Jig and the cat-eared girl with the,
Riker.
yeah, I was about to get there.
Okay.
And the cat-eared girl whose name is revealed to be Rika. Okay, there's a
Like
certain flow
something.
to saying things.
Wait. I remember a series where there's a character named Riker too.
Well, that
That series, yeah.
there are, yes, that name has been used in other series.
I know.
But yeah, anyway, so there you have a bit of a moment, I guess, which we're supposed to take as potential pairing, I don't know. Quiet you.
Sorry.
But yeah. And yeah, so we find out that she doesn't have any eyes, so her eyes are actually cybernetic eyes, except they fly around, which that's kind of cool.
Oh yeah, how far can they fly around though? Like what's the distance? Like,
Oh, it wasn't
are we fine?
mentioned.
I know.
Yeah, and I kind of like the I like the moment where the administrator Hank, a giant lizard guy, says, is like, you should, if you want a job, you should work with us. It'd be good to make us your ally. You never know if there are evil people out there who'd rip that heirloom off your back with your spine still attached. And it's like, there are such evil people around. And Riker's like, Yeah, it's pretty. I like these guys just because the introduction to them is just so weird and not what you expected in the end. Like, you're like, oh, these are bad guys. But then it turns out, no, not really. And it is also kind of interesting that you have Jig joining up with a group other than the group that he was introduced to. So we're not going the typical, hey, look, here's like a guild system or whatnot, and this is the main guild. Hey, you're joining them. No, he's actually joining a different one, which is kind of interesting. It's a nice approach. I like it. But yeah, and they end up going on a job and taking Jig with him to sort of give him some experience to become a job, they like to help Rika be backup. And they're going to rob a caravan and. It turns out, no, wait, they're not, they do anything, but turns out that this one, it's a trailer that they're robbing that's used by human traffickers, and their job is to rescue the people that have been captured. And Jig goes with them because, he's like, yeah, he's like, I'll become a human shield because I'm really good at that.
You missed the part where Riker was saying the whole like, oh, you could be our human shield, and then and she was just, I was just joking, and then yeah,
Yeah, well, that's.
it was funny the way he took it serious. It's like, wait, he's like, no, I can't be the human shield.
Yeah,
good
he
point.
does
I think
a
it's.
yeah, he does a pretty good job of that. And then it turns out that the that
He's clearly
trauma.
wobbled it.
Yeah, and then it turns out that trauma and two of the
Alice
other.
Nishigami and this new and the third guy named the Master,
Yep, are
who looks like a
there.
ninja.
Yep, have been hired to protect this slave trader's caravan. So, interesting. That was a bit of a twist that I wasn't expecting, where, the guys trying to rob it are the good guys, and the good guys trying to protect it are the bad guys. So, nice move. I like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like this chapter overall. I like the idea of the moral ambiguity that's coming into play here. And so, I kind of look forward to see what happens next. All
What
right,
was
so
it? What happened?
yeah, how it compared to what is your opinion of the series overall now?
Well, it's finally starting to grow on me with the whole, you know, how, like you said, the main character is actually going into a different type of organization instead of the one that he was introduced to first. I mean, they did try to get him in, but then the vice president from the other one was like, no, you can't let him in. Like, okay.
Yeah, it's like, no, dude, seriously.
So the vice president overrules the president's authority.
Well, yeah, especially if the president is trying to hire too many people.
Not to mention he let loose 100-something monsters all over the place again for like 17th time.
Yeah, definitely. So
don't trust this guy. Okay.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm liking what we're getting here. So from now, let's go ahead and move on to One Punch Man Chapter 34 Part 2.
The same title, I'm not going to say.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And yeah, so what's her face?
Tornado.
Tornado, yeah. She shoots the shells right back and, yeah, just kind of blasts massive holes inside the ship while the heroes continue to beat the regenerating guy, but Silver Fang gets hit and injured pretty badly.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and yeah, I kind of like that you've got, like, the one guy is like, she may be rank 2, but I can't leave this to one little girl. It's like, I have anti-aircraft capabilities of my own. He's like, hitting it with concrete debris should do some damage. And then he throws it, and then it turns out he's on top of an even bigger piece of debris that she's lifting with her psychic powers.
Power, yeah, psychic powers.
Yeah, and he's just like, I lose. Yep, and yeah, so she just continues bombarding the thing, and all the aliens like, I want to go home. It's like, return fire, but the shells come back. The cannons are toast anyway.
We're being beat by a little girl, damn it.
Yeah, and you've got a bunch of the heroes that are like, you know what? Well, this is, yeah, they don't need us, so we're out of here. You got the one, the kid that has like these spider legs coming, robot spider legs.
Oh, that's Emperor King.
Yeah, robot spider legs coming out of his school backpack, which is kind of cool.
Emperor King. Child Emperor.
Right. And then you've got, Drive Knight, who tells Genos that Metal Knight is your enemy. Watch your back. And that's the giant robot-looking thing, right?
Yeah, from, like, the time when they were trying to stop that meteor or something.
That's what. Okay, yeah, for a second I was thinking, wait, is that the dude with the armor and the katana? That guy doesn't seem like he's nefarious or anything. Yeah.
But that one giant robot guy.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was, when I thought about it again, I was like, no, that must be who he's talking about. And yeah, so other heroes leave, but yeah, Silver Fang is having a little trouble and looks like he gets squashed pretty good. Mm. And the guy, and the alien with one head left is all, ah ha ha ha, how fragile you are, one hit and you die. And it's like, dude, you're down to one hit. You're not going to survive this.
You're going to lose lots of heart, and you only got one head left.
Yep.
And you're up against, like, dozens of S-rank people. You think you're dead.
Yeah, pretty much. They can take you out pretty easily, I think.
Yeah.
Indeed. Yeah, so this was, or maybe he probably has some kind of, like, secret that comes into play after his final head is the only one remaining.
Probably.
And so,
I don't remember.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see. And, yeah, this was a good chapter. Really liked it. It was a lot of fun. But, yeah, still, it's kind of like, I don't know, at the same time, One Punch Man.
Part 2 is chapter 34, so it's still a continuation of chapter 34.
Yeah, but, yeah, and kind of like my point is that the current story, or just the way that One Punch Man is telling its stories, is a little bit generic action story without the, you know, because they've moved on from the one punch, he uses one punch and then they die, while still keeping the slightly silly setting, but at the same time, it's trying to take itself a bit more seriously, it seems like, which is kind of weird, you know, for a series that was set up with the premise of, this is a parody of superhero series, now it's not really a parody anymore, it's take this seriously, even though you don't know anything about the threat, and the story is just constantly, here's a big threat, and here's a big threat, and so on, and so on. So ever since, like, the ocean invaded, and...
Oh yeah, that was the one off when I first read that. I was like, what the
Yeah, this is
heck?
kind of weird. It's like it's still enjoyable, but it's not as great as it was before it started getting all serious. So, all right. Moving on to Nisekoi chapter 115.
Don't worry.
Yes. And yeah, where Ruri tells Ichijo, okay, here I have a here's what I want to do. I just want to run it by you. And Ichijo's like, yeah, it's a good idea. Should I help? She's like, well, if you're gonna offer, sure. And you kind of have a fun scene where Ruri asks Shu, is like, okay, how many photos do you have of me? And he's like, this many is like, could I borrow them? And he, you can just tell he's been thrown for a loop there, even though he barely reacts. He still has that moment where he pauses, and then he's like, oh, sure, here, go ahead. And yeah, Ruri apologizes to her grandpa, saying like, okay, look, Ichijo isn't my friend. I just asked him to pretend he was, and is like, no, he's actually a friend. And here are pictures of all my friends. You've got Onodera, you've got Chitoge, you've got
Tsugumi.
Sugumi, Marika, sort of, and yeah, and Raku and Shu. And, you know, she kind of like basically saying, you know what, okay, you know, yeah, it's right. Sometimes people tend to misunderstand me, but I've got these really good friends, even though I don't have a boyfriend. So, you know, I'm not interested in dating, but, you know, it was like, one day I will. So, but great grandpa, you don't have to worry about me. I'm going to be fine. And grandpa is always like, thank you. And you kind of have a scene with Shu kind of standing outside the door, just sort of listening and looking all. I don't know. I don't know how to explain that. It's more like
Understanding.
content, I would
Okay.
say. Sort of like he almost, my work here is done. It's
My work here is
like,
done.
you didn't do anything. Oh,
I gave
did yeah,
pictures.
didn't I? Yeah. And then they take a photo with everyone together, and Rory is wearing a sort of a fancy kimono. And then as they're leaving, you have her grandpa starts coughing, just has a huge coughing fit, and Ruri is like, oh, are you okay? And then he's like, just kidding, I tricked you. And she gets pissed off because he's like, yeah, you liars, like, how dare you act like you weren't go like you were going to die again and have me actually take it serious this time. She says, you know, ah, don't worry, there's still life in me yet. Come visit me again when you get a chance. And then you have the dramatic scenery change via the sky, and we discover that he died a week later.
Well, that was a twist. Was that a twist?
Sort of? Well, I guess the twist was more like a half twist. Like, you know, we're going one direction with the whole, no, he's really gonna die. Then twist 180 degrees to no, lol, just kidding, he's not gonna die. And then immediately twisting right back to, ha, kidding. What we said in the beginning was actually the case. So it's kind of like a twist. It's a way of having a twist while still having exactly what you said was gonna happen.
So it was a 260, two, 360.
Not, well.
I can't figure it out.
Pretty much, yeah, because I mean, imagine it, imagine my hand going in a line and being like, oh, grandpa's gonna die. It's like, then, lol, nope, twist it 180. And then it's like, haha, complete opposite. He's not gonna die. And then twist it again, break my wrist because my hand can't rotate like that. And then you'd get a 180. But instead of me doing a 180, I'm just gonna flop my hand back over where it was in the first place. Thus, if you take those two half turns, you get a 360. It's basically exactly what it is. Yeah.
Oh, okay, so it was a 360.
Yeah, man. But yeah, and Ruri realizes like, you know what? He was always threatening to die, and the one time he claimed he was fine, he went and actually died.
I'm like, jeez.
Yeah, and you see the picture, everyone's being all themselves, and you've got Ruri is just kind of with the typical expression that she has on her face. And she's just looking there, and she's just really, really kind of regretting that she had didn't smile for the last photo together. And, you know, She's at the bus station waiting to go back home to his funeral, and Shu comes by. And he tells her, he's like, would you mind taking this for me? And it's an eclair, because they were her great-grandpa's favorite. And she says, he's like, oh, geez, you're corny. And he's like, oh, yeah, and this is for you. And he hands her one of his candid pictures that he took of her, Ruri, and her great-grandpa in one of those rare moments where she was actually smiling. Mm-hmm. And then Shu says, once in a while, my hobbies come in handy, no? And she says, yeah, once in a while. And we end on the shot of the skies and the clouds. And I have to say, this chapter actually made me tear up a little bit, which I never thought that this series would manage to do. Mm. It was just, yeah, it was just, you know, because at the beginning I was thinking, how is a comedy like this going to deal with something like death, you know? I mean, obviously we're not going to see him actually die, so the way that they did it by having it, you know, be as a sort of like a narration, recapping like a while later, really does help sort of, you know, just make it work. And then the focus in the end wasn't, oh, he's dead and that is sad. It was more, here, this is, you know, this is a story about Ruri. And so we kind of just end it perfectly with the, hey, here's a regret that I had. And it's a really serious one that you can imagine that this really would be something that would really destroy someone for the rest of their life, that kind of always having that little bit of regret that they, you know, that they missed doing something with a family member that's dead. And having it, you know, having Shu be there as sort of like, you know, providing that, you know, little bit of closure for her was really nice. Also, I just want to say, more and more, I think the entire series is just like, yeah, we're probably going to end up pairing up the background characters together because, yeah. Because, you know, just kind of cute moments like this that, well, not so much cute as they are just touching. Mm. Which, yeah, I really like this chapter. I didn't expect that it would, you know, continue being humorous while at the same time actually making me almost cry a little bit right at the end there.
Almost cry.
I was at work. I wasn't going to actually cry.
I cried on the inside, but I didn't cry physically.
Yeah, well.
You're
dead on the outside.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Still, it was a very touching chapter. I liked it. And it handled death and very well, a lot better than I thought a comedy would have. So it just goes to show that, you know, there's a little more than just the silly comedy here. There's actually an ability to handle something in a touching, something heavy in a touching way, while at the same time remaining a comedy. So, and it's not like, you know, some series that will remain unnamed that have tragic things happen and then try to make jokes afterwards. Where you're just, you know, it's like, this is really inappropriate. Why are you doing this? People just died. Why are you making jokes now? But yeah, anyway. All right. Shall we move on to World Trigger, Chapter 53?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So we have a little, you know, the neighbors are saying, oh, hey, look at that. That's, you know, this one just, one of the baby birds destroyed or helped destroy one of the rabbits. And, yeah, with just a, you know, it wasn't a black trigger, but, you know, just a regular, it was just a regular trigger with lots of power. Yeah, and they say, we have a golden goose, so we're going to go after her, and we may acquire a new god. Which I'm thinking, interesting.
Wait. What?
I have no idea what's going on, but it's...
We will acquire a new god. Like, what the hell are you guys doing in the first place?
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, it's... You sort of just have to wonder, like, what do they mean when they say god? Or do they worship the people of Medan? Which seems kind of silly, since they seem to be more powerful than them.
It's possible when they say god, it might not mean god as in, you know, god the way, you know, like, how one sees defined god in Skypiea.
or how real world religions do, but yeah, it's, I don't know, it might be something more like, oh, they will create, like, use her Trion to create a, like, an idol or something like that that they worship. I don't know, it's kind of an interesting thought. Or they might just use the word God to refer to something like a power source, you know, kind of like how Toriko uses it to refer to the ultimate food. And so, but it's still that use of that word piques my interest enough to wonder, okay, what exactly do they mean by this? You know? But yeah, so we've got Chika tries to, you know, shoot some more rabbits, but it doesn't do any good. And then, what's the name of their squad again? Dang it.
Tamakoma.
That's it. Yeah, it was on the tip of my tongue. Tamakoma, that's it. Yeah. So they come in and they fight, you know, they're able to stop the rabbits kind of pretty much barehanded. And
What is Kizuki using? Basically, he's Chika's
him.
What's he using? Can't tell what he's using there.
Well, it's just like a trigger, but he's doing something like, instead of forming it or anything, he just uses it as like a pair of Trion brass knuckles. Or not even a pair, it's just in one hand. So he just, yeah, I guess he doesn't really form it, he just uses it for punching. And then, yeah, and then what's her face? Konami shoots down with like on top of them and smashes them with a bunch of Trion meteors. And yeah, so they're basically kind of trash the rabbits pretty well. And then they discover it's like, okay, the Trion cubes are, you know, they're indestructible unless you open it properly, so we don't have to worry about hurting them. Let's we'll rescue Kitora. And yeah, so, and then but Yuma is like, oh wait a minute, the ones that open the gates. And then the gates open and you have a bunch of the humanoid neighbors that come through, two of them going for Osamu and the Tamakoma branch, one of them, and then one of each of the other two going after the different groups that managed to take on the other rabbits. So yeah, this is a really good way of telling like an action story, just because it goes from woo, they did good, to oh, they're screwed, to woo, they did good, to oh, they're really screwed. And on
So
and
they're
on
gonna
that
do
goes.
really good again and then get really, really screwed and oh
Who
no, wait.
knows? We'll have to see what happens. So, yeah.
They're finding the big graph right now though.
Also worth pointing out, Konami's, when she activates her Trion body, for some reason it makes her hair short.
Because it gets in the way. She's basically generating her Trion form that to make it combat adjustable. I mean, you don't fight with long hair in combat, do you?
Well, I don't fight in combat, but you know,
I
but
couldn't.
still, yeah, I didn't know that was something that was possible, because all the other Trion forms, you know, looked like the actual people. There was no,
Probably,
my
yeah.
hair is now short, and then but then when I'm not in my Trion form, it's long. So
Maybe it just takes being better with the Trion form
it
to be.
could, yeah, it could
She's
be.
was it S or A rank, I forget.
I can't remember. Probably. She doesn't have a black trigger, I don't think, so I don't think
A
she's
rank.
S ranked. But yeah, they are said to be the strongest team. And it is kind of funny how they're saying, like, oh, we'll provide support while Konami goes on a rampage. But then she doesn't, you know, she isn't the one that defeats the rabbits. They don't defeat them just yet. And it doesn't seem like she goes on much, all that much of a rampage.
Just those meteors.
Yeah, she looks kind of like she's. Yeah, and the others are just like, oh no, we're not, you know, we're not significantly weaker than her at any way, which is what I thought it was going to be.
Like
But
Kazuki's like, we'll provide support while Konami goes on rampage. Kazuki's like, bam! Ah, yeah, wait, I'll pull the support.
yeah, so but yeah, all right, next chapter, what do we have next? Okay, skipping Yu-Gi-Oh.
Page 178.
Oh, thank you. There we go. All right. Oh, for the love of no, I didn't mean to press that link. There we go. All right. So, we start off with a special preview of Food Wars, Shokugeki no Soma.
Chapter 2.
Why? Well, I guess chapter 1 kind of had some heavy ooh la la in it. But still,
oh, well.
Yeah, it's still, it's really weird that they would say, we're not going to include this in the Weekly Shonen Jump because it's too risque, but we're going to show one of the chapters from back when it was way risque instead of one of the current ones where it is totally not risque.
And the first two pages, Papley is like, what the F am I reading?
Yeah, it's... I kind of like the metaphor is pretty great where you have Irina who is... tasting this soup, and she sees, this is warm and refreshing, like as if I were in a hot springs. But then there's something in there, in the flavor, something that breaks the effect, like finding a massive gorilla in the hot springs.
Staring at me.
It's pretty awesome, and... So, yeah, she gets pretty pissed at the dude that served her that and is like starts chewing them out as like, oh, how dare you? You've been attempting to streamline the process. You're neglecting a preparatory state. It's like,
what's funny is that one of the panels when she was scolding them, all of them had bowls on their head. I'm like, how did she do that? Like, just barrage them or something.
Yeah, no, it's more like they all had her taste it, all one by one had her taste them, and she was like, oh man, you suck. So, yeah. And then we have Soma, who, for the record, basically the basic plot of this is him and his dad have a restaurant. His dad goes off to basically travel the world. And he enrolls Soma in this high-class cooking school that he has to, he has to defeat it before he can really consider himself good enough to go up against his dad. And she kind of goes there, you see that a lot of, the people are pretty snotty. Like, yeah.
Snobby.
What?
Snobby, snotty.
Yeah, snobby.
I'll call him Dirk.
Snobby. You have, one of the kids that he meets, like, when he discovers that he's, that his restaurant is just, a common restaurant, kicks him off, stands up and kicks him off the bench. It's kind of funny. And he's like, you filthy peasant.
Do not presume to sit next to me.
Yeah, it's absolutely hilarious. Well, at the same time, you're like, man, what a douchebag. But still, I kind of would love to continue following this character just because I'm just thinking, it's like, dude's a complete douchebag, but that's kind of hilarious. And yes, so you have them all go to the entrance exams, which is, presided over by Irina, one of the members of the basically their version of the all-powerful student council. Mm. And she's, they have all these, there'll be two or three trial dishes, those pass the stage. Well then, and Irina says like, that's boring. You have to make something that I like using eggs as the main ingredient. And everyone panics because her palate is so refined that anyone that she, she can ruin anyone's career just by saying that they made something that she did not like, and that's like your life as a chef is completely over. And yeah, and then everyone runs away, and Arena's like, oh, what a disappointment. But
they're all afraid that she'll find out they have gorillas in their food.
Yeah, and yeah, pretty much. And Soma is the only one left, and he's saying, hey, so we can make anything we want, and it's like, he's like, oh, phew, thank goodness. He's like, I thought I'd be rejected before I had a chance to cook anything. And so, yeah, he's like, okay, I'm going to make something. And they're wondering, what is he going to make? And they can't figure out what he's making. And it's kind of funny. He makes fun of her when she's like, what on earth are you making? And he's like, you've been watching this whole time and you don't know? Is like, don't make me fail you right now. I have no time to waste on imperfect dishes. And it's all, the kind of banter that you expect from two characters that are probably going to end up in being romantically involved with each other.
Yeah, she even blushes in that panel.
Yeah, which no matter what this series develops, no matter what other characters come in, I still like her best just because their banter is the funniest. So, right, but yeah, we have. He's making Yukihira Family Restaurant's secret menu item number 8, and it's furikake rice, which is basically furikake is basically a packet of seaweed, sesame seeds, and other seasonings sprinkled over rice, often sold in these cheap little packets. So think ramen seasoning, except with more actual ingredients in there instead of just a bunch of random chemicals. But
Chemicals?
yeah, for rice.
Oh.
You make your rice, you got the little seasoning packet, put it over the rice, done. And it's like the easiest freaking thing in the world to make because you don't actually have to do anything besides cook the stupid rice. And
Hey, don't call cooking rice stupid.
quiet boy. No, but
I live on rice.
it's probably not a great idea.
Well, not literally, but my stomach. Somehow, it's like how some people can't live without eating certain food. That's how I am too.
Yeah,
It's my fuel.
I mean, I don't know. It's kind of like, whatever people's ancestors ate the most is kind of what they're probably most comfortable eating. Kind of like how I like bread.
I like bread too.
And kind of like how I can drink milk, while apparently most of the world actually can't.
I can drink milk too.
How did that happen?
Because I'm
Yeah,
special.
I don't know, 'cause yeah, I've heard from what the heard the stats are is that the majority of the planet is lactose intolerant,
Yeah.
except like Middle Easterners and white Europeans, whose
I'm up.
ancestors were all, cattle farmers. And so like, hey, we should drink this stuff. Drink it. Oh gosh, I have the shits. And then they're like, oh, whatever, drink it anyway. And then suddenly they're like, oh hey, this is actually really good.
It
Suddenly,
is good.
yeah, and suddenly I do not have the shits. Hooray! So I guess that's how that worked, where humans are technically not supposed to drink milk after a certain age, but for some reason, a good chunk, well, Europe and the Middle East continued drinking it, and that's part of why a lot of them grew to be so tall, because there was an extra source of protein from the milk. And
Well, that
so.
does explain my grandpa's origins now.
Oh? Yeah, which.
It's supposedly thought that he's probably from the Middle East.
Oh, that would. Yeah, that would explain it. Though, at the same
But
time,
then
that's
it's
a. That's, at the same time, that's a theory, but I know plenty of. At least I'm pretty sure there are plenty of. I've known a few Asian people that drink milk without any trouble. So I'm like, wait. These stats say 95% of Asians are lactose intolerant.
It's kind of true. I have a couple of Asian. I have a number of Asian friends that are lactose intolerant.
Oh, okay. Yeah, though at the
I'm
same.
just one though
Yeah.
that
Okay, well, lucky you. No, but yeah, at the same time, it's kind of weird. You have so often anime and manga are like, oh, I'll drink milk after being in a, after being in the hot, the public bath. That's it, After being in the public bath, drink some milk. That's what you do. But at the same time, I'm just thinking, wait. That doesn't match up with that 95% lactose intolerance. But okay.
Milk hydrates you, believe it or not.
Yeah, but that's
Helps.
but at the same time, I'm kind of looking at that. I'm thinking, okay, I didn't know. I didn't think that traditionally Japan had a lot of milk, but I could be wrong. But or maybe becoming lactose tolerant is something that only takes a generation or two, instead of the thousands of years that we had to work at it to become lactose tolerant. You overachievers did it in like two generations. You jerks. But yeah, anyway, that aside, so we can see why Irina is kind of pissed, because that is like saying, I'm entering this high-class culinary school, so I'm gonna make top ramen. It's like not even the kind that comes in the packet that you have to take out, put it in the water, boil it, and then put the seasoning in. No, this is cup noodles. I'm making cup noodles for my prestigious culinary exam. So, yeah. Except Soma says, oh, this isn't gonna be ordinary furikake rice. Also, a little bit of a German history language lesson again. Kake is the German word for poop. So if we
Dang it, Japan!
So if we combine, I'm pretty sure that's not how you're meant to pronounce it, but the way my instinct to pronounce it is, if you combine English and German together, you get angry poops. Fury, right. Kake.
Angry poops, right.
Yeah, so suddenly I know why. I thought I knew why she was pissed. Now I actually know why she's pissed. It's like, oh gosh, I'm out of here. I want nothing to do with this madness. But Soma says, what I make is morphing Fury Kake Rice.
Just angry poops morphing rice.
And it's like, and her expression makes it sound like she's thinking exactly that. It's like, wait, so it starts out all hard and then it turns into diarrhea? Oh, I need to run. This is not an appropriate topic for a food manga. But needless to say, that's where it ends. And it says, to be continued in Volume 1, which physical releases will be out in December. I'm trying really hard not to...
Billy?
Yeah.
It better be.
Yeah, I'm trying... Well, we'll go over the entire first part in December. But for now, we kind of... The digital volume is available for people. But I'm kind of thinking, it's like, should I get the digital or should I just wait for the physical? I mean, I've been getting all the Nisekoi digitals, so I... Wait, where'd it go?
Where'd they go?
No! Soma, where have you gone to? Oh, there he is. Okay. You know what? Screw it. Buying it.
Okay.
Because I don't know, just rereading this second chapter after having read it in the Scanlations... Yes, I'm admitting that. Really makes me want to read the first volume again, you know? So, yep. Here it goes. Downloading. Excellent.
You're actually buying it while we're on the air. Okay.
Yes, I am, because I really like this series. And I kind of wonder when the next when Volume 2 is going to come out. But
also, I believe you were the one that introduced me to this series.
Yes, I was. Yes, I was.
Because you're the food guy, after all.
Yes, I am. That's totally the reason why I introduced you to it, and I'm sticking to that.
I'm going to hide my actual legitimate reason.
Shut your mouth. Yeah, but, yeah. It's a really fun series. I highly recommend it for... You know, anyone that likes food. Food is good. And, yep, so I got the digital one now. This is also kind of my way of saying, okay, I read the Scanlations. I'm going to actually pay for this one. So now I've got the digital release that I paid for. And as far as I'm concerned, that means, okay, there we go. I paid for the right to read it back when I read it. Now I just need to wait for the physical release because, yeah. I prefer reviewing physical releases. I don't know why. I just still have that bias.
Because I like to hold a physical copy in my hand. Indeed. Besides, actually having both digital and physical is good because in case something happens to a computer or account, oh look, you have physical, but then something is physical, you're digital. Something happens to both. Yeah. I don't know what happened, man, but your life sucks.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm pretty sure you can restore it if something happens to your account. You know, but nonetheless, yeah, I've got like 7 digital volumes of Nisekoi, even though I purchased like the first 2, you know, physical ones. But, you know, it's kind of a, hey, I want to read these again, so I shall read them. All right. Now, let's see, what time is it? Okay, let's go over the extra chapters that are not included in the Shonen Jump right now, starting with...
Assassin's Classroom.
Chapter 82. Excellent. All right, Mo, what was this one about again?
Okay, so it's a continuation of chapter 81, where pretty much we see the students, or they're about to go and rescue their teammates, and then all of a sudden that one guy, the one who's about the whole, the perversion will stay door. He actually does this really funny panel with his hand in Koro Sensei, like pictures of every man, like with... Well, it's really hard to do. I'm doing actually doing it right now. I can't really show though, but right. He's holding the pictures up to Koro Sensei, and he's like covering his eyes and like he's holding him, hoping he'll take the bribe. But he's like, take the bribe, and then just lets him. He's like, what the heck?
From there, it basically turns into a game of Karasuma tries to chase them all down while Koro Sensei keeps letting them go for
due to bribery and sob story.
It's also worth pointing out that Arena doesn't appear again in the rest of the chapter. So, like, she's like, you know what? I've had enough of this. I'm going somewhere else. This is boring. So, yeah, it was a, and then the chapter ends with them kind of, you know, actually figuring out a way to win it by leading Karasuma away, and then by having a bunch of guys at the bottom of a pool with a real knife and an anti-sensei knife, three of them, and Koro Sensei can't get in there.
Three guys into the pool.
Yeah, because one, water is a weakness. Two, they have his other weakness, those specially made weapons. Which, he goes down there to tag them to win the game, he's weakened, and then they stab him and they get the bounty. So, not much he can do there. So, yeah, that was actually really ingenious and a great way to end this little story arc.
Like, last minute, they're like, oh, we know what to do in the last minute.
Mm-hmm. Yes, smart kids.
I think it was also good to show that that the way they're talking about Koro Sensei and Karasuma make a great duo when they're teaching.
Yeah, because they kind of, because they're able to, you know, just basically the fact that Koro Sensei is letting them go is also providing a good teaching moment for them, which, yeah, it works.
He's telling them how to cover their tracks and stuff, and Crossman's noticing that they got better, but he's still able to get them, except the problem is that, you know, with the whole last minute thing part.
that's true. Alright.
You can't get them in the water. Oh, crap. I can't get them because they have knives, too. Crap.
He was like, nuts. Alright. Let's see. I would say it's time for Shokugeki no Soma chapter. Which one?
62, A Meeting of Strong People.
Yeah, excellent. This one is basically where Soma goes in, has a little more banter with Arena, which after Megumi decide, oh, wait, I think I've fallen for him. Then we see him and Arena doing their thing, and you're just like, that's the one that I would support just because it's more entertaining. and then from there we find out that he is actually his opponent in the tournament, the final stages, is going to be Alice Nakiri, Arena's cousin, who is like, who her thing is like all molecular cooking, you know, using science.
Astronomy.
Science
will win this cooking contest.
Pretty much, yeah. And she has all her equipment, looks all more like, you know, scientific equipment instead of cooking stuff. So it's a really good chapter just because, you know, it sets him up against one of the most powerful opponents for him to face. So you're just like, oh, how is he going to win this one? And so, yeah, I'm very curious. And of course, at the time that we record this, the chapter after this is already released, but because of our weird release schedule, somehow we ended up a chapter behind, but we're going to save it because we know if we did talk about both chapters right now, we would then end up with nothing for next week.
Also, maybe. I would like to mention that one of the main judges is Sendaimon Nakiri.
Grandfather.
Remember, the one who at the very, 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 very far beginning, I forgot what chapter it was, but I think he was the one that, like, stamped the thing, and he just so...
Right. Oh, yeah, I can't remember when exactly, but...
When I first read that part, I was like, wait, did he fail him or did he pass him? And I looked at it again, I was like, oh my god, yes, he passed him. He's like, I approve of this kid. I'm like...
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, hey, you got balls. It's like, you got moxa, kid. I like ya. So, yeah, this chapter is, mostly really enjoyable because you just kind of got like the little character banter and then the setup of a really tough opponent for Soma. So, I like a lot. And I think that's it. Let's see. We've got two more chapters left, right?
Yeah, just two more chapters.
Okay, let's do them quickly here. Fairy Tale, chapter
376, Wendy versus Ezel.
This was a really fun chapter because it's basically Wendy trying to get to Face, and then one demon dude is all, blarg, no, I'm not going to let you do that. And Wendy's like, oh, I need to, it's like, I have to do something. Nobody else is here to save me. So she ends up thinking, wait, maybe I can be like Natsu. I'll take in this air, which, keep in mind, her ability is to eat air because to power up. So you think she would be the most OP thing ever. And she says, this Trion-infused air, if I take it in, what will happen? And what happens is she unlocks her own version of Dragon Force.
Wendy leveled up.
Yeah, and that is...
And learn Dragon Force.
that's kind of a really cool panel, and just the promise of one of the characters that, for the most part, has been a, hey, I'm kind of useless most of the time. I'm a support character, but in a one-on-one fight, I'm not all that useful. Seeing her actually power up like this is just, oh, yes, this is going to be awesome. And that's kind of what this chapter is. It's more of a, hey, here's the promise of something awesome. And so we sit here and we're like, okay, waiting for the next week. But yeah, I really like this. This was
it was actually awesome, this chapter, than just being cute, which is what mostly she was.
Yeah. So I like that. It gives me a little bit of hope if Mashima can, whenever he does something right, it gives me hope, please do other things right. But yeah, this was a good chapter. I liked it. All right, what else do we have?
Seven Deadly Sins, Chapter 71, What Lies in the Shadows.
Yes, so it turns out that,
we thought Gowther won, but then, when he was in a nightmare phase and all that, some mysterious figure went behind, distracted him, and then allowed Dreyfus to finish him off.
Yeah, and so Dreyfus won this one. Gowther's kind of out for the count, but Dreyfus and...
Gil Thunder,
yep, which... Might we remember is his nephew.
Gil Thunder knows father's dead because of Dreyfus Henderson Helbrum's betrayal.
I don't know. Probably
doesn't.
Yeah, so they're left with Helbrum. And you know, but
Helbrum says like, oh, don't take this, like, oh, you think it's gonna be a breeze, that's what you thought you were saying, huh? Well, don't take me lightly. Like, okay, don't take him lightly.
Yeah, and then Diane tries like, oh, hey, you guys need to get out of here. Take this kid. It's like, I'll hold him off, basically. And, you know, she tries to fight him, but it doesn't go very well.
I stake through the stomach. Holy crap.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, geez. And then she's about to get, like, an ice stick to the head or something, but it shatters, and we see King standing there looking very pissed.
No kidding.
Like, royally pissed.
Royally pissed.
Yeah, and I have to say, you know, usually when you're sort of like, you know, when you're reading a series and you've got like a girl that's all like, oh, I'm in love with this character, you sort of, you know, you're more inclined to support that character and, you know, them, you know, and them liking who they like kind of thing, or I guess it's more, you know, whoever shows an interest first. So like Diane showed up first and was like, I like our captain. And then King showed up as like, I like Diane. And was like, well, sucks to be you. She said she had first say, so screw you. But after this chapter, I'm like, you know what? I think I might be jumping ship because that was kind of really cool.
I was already for Diane and King when I saw King like during all that.
Well, personally, I mean, I knew how it was going to go, but at the same time, I'm just like, okay, I'm shipping this. But then, you know, seeing King actually not be a complete goof around her, sort of like, okay, I'll jump ship. And by which I mean I'm going to jump ship off of the shipping because I really need to stop that.
But, also, I have to admit, I think Helbrum's character's grown on me in the fact that he doesn't act like the whole, oh, I'm super powerful. He acts like a goofy, kind of super powerful guy. Helbrum. You know how he was saying?
Yeah.
He was saying, oh, look, oh, melee, huh? Well, no more melee. I'm going to use magic now. Yeah, he uses magic. I mean, it explains how Diane got the ice stake through her stomach.
Yeah. It is. Yeah, he is definitely... a pretty good character. I enjoy his antics, shall we say. Yeah, but yeah, this just was a really great chapter. And it's you know, it's a great chapter in a series of great chapters, which I'm a huge fan of. I really like this all. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing where we go from next with this. All right, then. And I think, we don't have the Fairy Tale special. That one's not going to be out until next week.
Yeah.
For some reason. Weird.
Spring Break's next week for me.
Oh, lucky bastard. I don't get spring break
because
I work.
Well, so for everyone, too, though. Yeah, you work. So for everyone, again.
Yeah. Oh, well. But, yeah. Anyway, I think that about wraps up the manga commentary section. So let's go ahead and wrap things up for good.
Yes.
This has been Manga Cubed, episode 90 for the week of March 24th, 2014. On this episode, we discussed Genshiken, second season, volume 4. And we also talked about the weekly chapters, as usual. All right, and now it is time for us to wrap things up. And to do so, we will go over the author comments in Weekly Shonen Jump. Starting off with Bleach's Tite Kubo. Maybe it's the special yogurt I mentioned in the graphic novels, but I haven't had any hay fever symptoms this year.
Well, yogurt's actually very good for your stomach. So in a sense, yogurt really does help a lot. And it's a perfect snack to have.
I think I've been having hay fever symptoms, like the side of my eye will twitch or will leak a little bit. It's been kind of weird.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know, right?
So, hay fever is, okay.
Yep.
Naruto's Musashi Kishimoto. I saw Katsuhiro Otomo's posters book. His artistic ability is truly amazing.
Indeed. Okay, and Stealth Symphony's Yoichi Amano. How many Red Bulls are you allowed to drink per day? I'm too scared to have more than one.
Good. That's scary.
Yeah, I would say try not to do more than one. That's probably not a great idea.
No, just do half. I could barely even handle a quarter. That's how bad I am with energy drinks.
All right, we've got Nisekoi's Naoshikomi. The Blu-ray and...
It's my turn to read.
Yes, it is. Go ahead.
Nisekoi's Naoshikomi. The Blu-ray and DVD for the Nisekoi anime come out in Japan on the 26th. I can't wait to listen to the full version of the Chitogi ending theme song.
Sweet. And yeah. World Trigger's Daisuke Ashihara. All the Valentine's Day and birthday presents gave me energy. Thank you so much.
Wait, you still had the Valentine's stuff?
Yes. Okay.
So, they have a Nihongo lesson.
Oh, all right. Did they? I didn't know. I didn't even notice it. This.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious what this one is. It's like I don't see why they explain that word.
Baka. Yeah, I.
Ooh.
Yeah, if you need to have the word baka explained to you, you I don't know why you're listening to us because you're clearly not into manga nearly enough.
Baka.
Shut up. All right. We have some rankings to do.
Yes, rankings.
Indeed. Let's see. Do you have a number 4 yet, Mo?
Kind of tough. Hang on. Okay, my number 4 would be All You Need Is Kill.
Yeah, that's my number 4.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's just... Yeah, it was a nice backstory. I liked it.
Yeah. I mean, the shower was kind of unnecessary, but basically, it was a funny way of showing, hey, look, here's how she resets. I'm like, man, this must suck to reset in the shower. And all of a sudden, like, this happened.
But yeah.
It's WDI. What the heck?
Right. All right. Number 3. What do we have for our number 3s?
Okay. My number 3. Is Nisekoi. Not Nisekoi. That's wrong to say. Stealth Symphony.
Okay. Alright.
I kind of would prefer to be 2, but for me.
Yeah, my number 3 was... I have to say Food Wars. because yeah, I liked it. All right, number twos.
Number two would be Bleach.
Okay. Interesting. My but number
sort of chapter was it was still awesome to see Kenpachi being Kenpachi.
Quite true. Yeah, my number two is World Trigger, just because, you know, it's a lot of fun, I have to say. Alright, and number ones?
Nisekoi.
Yeah, Nisekoi. Pretty much just because it was just so touching while at the same time handling the whole death of a close, you know, while still being funny, but still handling the death of a close family member very well. I like that. I was impressed by it.
Yeah, I should have cried, but I couldn't cry.
You're a heartless being.
All my tears disappeared, was it, three years ago? 2 years ago, already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was good. Definitely the number one spot for this week. All right, then. And I do believe with that, that wraps us up for the week. We don't have any questions or comments, but remember, if you email us at burninglizardstudios@gmail.com or if you go to burninglizardstudios.com or you look up Burning Lizard on Twitter, we can answer any questions that you have. All right. And that being said, I think that wraps us up for the week. Did you have anything else to add, Mo?
One Piece and Torko return next week, next issue, so...
Yes, they do. It'll be a good week. Yep. All right. Well, we will see you all next week then. Oh, and before I forget, the manga is always better.
Oh, like, wait, you're forgetting something there.
Yes, I almost did, but then I didn't. Hopefully I don't cut this last part out. We'll see you all next week.